Welcome, welcome to Let's Talk Common Sense with me, Mike Omani. I am so pumped to have you back. Wherever you're watching from, we're excited to have you join us. Thank you for giving up some of your time to hear us help you make sense of the world. And that's the aim of this podcast, folks. It isn't just to have a chat, it's to help you make sense of the world. Now, it seems to me that after Brexit, lots of people are caring about news these days. So we've come here today, essentially, to help you make sense of what's happening in the world, and also so you can meet somebody from a different industry as you and learn about how things work in their industry, how things work in their life. So without further ado, let's get straight into the podcast. But I first must thank you if you shared our last podcast, which did really well. It was a record-breaking week for us. We had lots of interest, people saying, oh my God, Mike, that was so helpful. Now, I did not start a podcast to like help people. Like, let's be honest. I started a podcast to explain the news and to just talk trash with friends. But here we are now, helping people. Can you believe it? Social impact, even on the podcast. Anyways, we've got some top stories for you today. They're not that fun, if I'm honest with you. They're really sad. The first one is obviously Iran. You may have been heard about the Iran crisis. We covered it in the last podcast. At that stage, Donald Trump had just assassinated General Soleimani. Now, after that, we've seen a couple of developments. One being Iran attacking back some US bases. Well, technically, they were coalition bases in Iraq. And then after that, we saw a Ukrainian plane crash on the same day. That was suspicious. I actually tweeted, I said, and here's what's funny. The plane crashed, and literally 44 minutes after, we were told by the Iranians, it was a malfunction. So everyone went, malfunction. Well, here's what's interesting about plane malfunctions. It typically takes weeks after an investigation before you can decipher what happened. How Iran, with their primitive devices, were able to ascertain how the plane crashed and killed everyone in the plane within a couple of minutes was very suspicious. Guess what? The next day, we learn from US officials that they are confident that the plane was hit by two missiles. That sounds more like it, doesn't it? Iran seems to have retaliated. And you know, the truth of the matter is 82 Iranian citizens died on the plane as well. So the working assumption now is that it was some sort of accident. But of course, people are saying they don't believe this and they think they know what happened. Boris Johnson called the Iranian president and he demanded... I'd love to hear Boris Johnson demanded on the phone. I bet he was something like, we need the judges to summon, except I don't know what he did. But he demanded that there be a transparent investigation to what happened. So hopefully over the next few days or so, we will find out what happened. But as you can imagine, it's really sad. And then there's lots of people taped. I mean, one of the things that bugs me the most about this is, of course, you remember, people were putting memes on Twitter. World War III, it's not a joke. People are dying, right? And now we live in a world where the country... I'll tell you what was really interesting. I was driving to the gym this morning, and I remember seeing... And by the way, that's a little sense of foreboding. We've got someone in the studio that equally started smiling when I said gym. Like, yes, finally, the gym! I was driving to the gym this morning, and I saw Jeremy Corbyn being interviewed, and they asked him, is Soleimani a terrorist? They asked him about six times. Each time, he danced around, he pivoted, and he just didn't answer the question. This is a problem for me. It's a problem because we know he's a terrorist. Why he can't say it, I don't know, but we'll find out in a little while or so. The second big story we're going to discuss today is obviously, as you may have seen, if you check my article out on tcsnetwork.co.uk, Meghan and Harry... Not only do they quit the royal family, they are currently now in Canada. Come on, that part is a bit funny. They literally dropped a nuclear bomb, right? And then they left. And they just vanished. And now we hear that they've gone back to Canada to basically leave the royal family to deal with this mess and to answer all the questions from the media because they're not interested. Now, I have a lot to say about Harry and Meghan, but I won't do it now, because if you go on tcsnetwork.co.uk, you can see my article about it. But one thing I've seen is that, oh, oh, the British press is racist. It's racism. Now, is the British press racist? Yes. is this particular issue about racism? I don't think so. I don't think so. But I'm joined in the studio by Don Fitness, who I'm going to ask, Don Fitness, is the UK racist?
That's an interesting question, actually. Based on experience, is the UK racist? One could say so. I mean, it's not so in your face like it is in America, yeah, for example. But over here in the UK, it's more systemic. So people are more clever, yeah, about how they go by it. So it won't necessarily be spoken to your face. It's more behind closed doors.
More covert.
Yeah, so yeah, it's more behind closed doors. So, but in regards to Meghan and Harry, I don't necessarily think it's about race. I think there's a lot of fundamental issues going on that we probably don't even know. Mm. So that's my take on that.
Oh, well, you sound and look and are much bigger than me, so I think I may just agree with you. Whatever you say, Don, you're right.
Cool.
But well, I mean, we're discussing off air how, like, my mum thinks Princess Diana was her best friend because she loves that woman. And when Harry first announced it, she was like, yes, Princess Diana would be very happy about this. I was like, whoa, hold on. Yeah. You don't know her. Like, let's not start assuming what Princess Diana would or wouldn't do. But you know, I was going to ask you if you face racism in the workspace. But where's your workspace? The gym?
I work... Well, I've got a few different jobs, really.
I don't know where to even start.
Let's
talk about your fitness because you were featured recently on our North 30 list, which was celebrating 30 people under 30 who are killing the game, who are doing amazing things up north, right? Mm-hmm. And you were featured on that. So you're a top 30 trailblazer from the north. And we featured you on that because you're a fitness kind of competitor, athlete, influencer, whatever you want to call it. So talk us through that. Like, you know, what's that like? I mean, that's such a foreign world to a lot of different people who are probably work 9 to 5 somewhere.
Mm. Yeah. And thank you once again for the opportunity for the award.
You're welcome.
I don't think we've actually had a chance to catch up properly since then. But yeah, once again, thank you. I don't necessarily see myself as a role model or influencer as much. It's more I try to contribute in any positive way I can.
You've got thousands of followers who follow you,
yeah,
because you throw stuff and you punch stuff and you break stuff and you know all about fitness, and you can't say you don't know that.
I mean, it's all part of the fun, and obviously when people see what you stand for, then obviously lightly even the bad guys do our followers, so but just trying to put some positivity out there in the world. In regards to the fitness side, I believe it's something that I've always sort of grown with.
Yeah.
I enjoy doing it, very passionate about it, and as much as I can share my knowledge to help people in any way possible, then I'm all up for that. So via Instagram, social media, I'm constantly putting out work out.
So
there.
Out of curiosity, to give people, because I can see you here,
yeah,
to give people a sense of like you, so how much do you weigh? I know this is like a triggering question, yeah, for some girls. They're like, what? Mike, how dare you? Just met him. Yeah. No, ask him how much he weighs. But I mean, how do you tell like people's size in like competitive, like athletic, whatever? Like,
yeah,
what do you, what is it, your weight or is it your hip size? Like, what is it?
It's funny enough, it's both height and weight as well.
Okay.
So obviously when I'm competing, I go in a different height rank in comparison to some of the other athletes. In regards to being able to judge other people, I used to actually work in retail and clothing stores, so
okay,
as soon as anyone stands in front of me, I kind of know what size they are.
Okay, well let's do this then. I mean,
okay,
I'm sat in front of you.
Yeah, yeah.
I just met you.
Yeah.
You know, let's not destroy our friendship already.
That's right.
But but you tell me. So what do you think my kind of waist size is for jeans?
Your waist size, I would say you're no more than 34.
Oh my god. that's crazy. I'm a 34.
Exactly. So,
wow, how did you okay, what about my the length of my jeans?
The length, accurately you probably be about 31. But obviously, it's hard to get a 31 out there, so you might have to settle for a 32 day.
It's a 32, I think.
Okay, 34. There you are. Like, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So
oh gosh.
Close enough, right?
And you, I love how you're looking. He's very forensic. You're like, it was like a kind of like a Terminator, just kind of searching, and then a number pops up in your head. So I was going to ask you about how you started, because this is something I find really interesting, especially for fitness people. So were you like a really kind of obese big kid that then had a kind of transformative moment and got fit, or have you always been? I know some people will be rolling their eyes. Like, have you always been the fit kid who could do chin ups and all that kind of stuff?
I think personally, I've never really, even till this day, I don't really have a transformation picture or something to compare to. I don't really have a
like a before and after,
like a before and after picture, photo to compare myself in. It's more from like a very young age. I've always wanted to have a physical presence that's different to everyone else.
Why
partly because naturally I'm shy, and then also over the years as you grow confident you start to channel your energy into something. For that reason I just wanted to have a physique that will make me stand out from majority. From a young age I'd always play football as well. So that for me kind of was the start of everything. And by the time I was 16, 17, old enough for the gym, I signed up. And it was actually a funny story because you know Nigerian parents.
I do.
Yeah, so my
best friend's Princess Diana.
Exactly. So my parents wasn't really into the idea of getting big, training, so you come back to the house being double the size of them. They're scared, probably scared you're gonna beat them up one day, but oh, they can't talk to you anymore. So
did your mom ever did that thing where she would try and hit you and you would like raise your hand? Like, you want to fight me? So you want to fight me? You go, whoa, I just raised my hand.
I still get that right now anyway. So no matter how old you are, they still always try it. So back to the story. So my parents were a bit more scared of it, and eventually education comes first. Everything else is a distraction. So my parents basically threatened me about cancelling my gym membership. So
oh my gosh.
I was like, you know what, it's cool. So I cancelled it for them before. I'm a bit like that. If you threaten me, I do the job for you before you do it to me. So.
Hold on. What? That doesn't sound like a good idea. Yeah. So if someone threatens to throw you off a cliff, you're going to jump. I'll do it for you.
That's different. That's different. Yeah. But in regards to this, so eventually one of my friends, he was interested in training. His dad was actually a bodybuilder. So he noticed that I love to train as well.
Yeah.
And he just invited me to train with him one day. And next thing, met his dad and he showed us what to do. So I basically signed up to my gym through his mom's direct debit. So she was paying, I was paying her.
Did she know about this?
Yeah. Okay. So I was paying her monthly and she was paying the gym membership for me. So after sixth form every day, we were always training. And by the time we were 18, 19, you start to see the changes.
Yeah.
And over the period of time, every year you learn something different and then you keep chasing for the next challenge and the next challenge.
Yeah.
Hence why I now compete in men's physique. So that was the story. And now I'm able to share with everyone.
So many questions. So, I think it's so lovely how, like, as you can see, a lot of success comes from African parents
<That's true. laughs>
blocking you in one way or pushing you in another way. So the one of the kind of questions I'm thinking is, at what stage did you kind of realize that, oh my gosh, I'm actually big? Because I was thinking this about this in the gym. So, you know, I gym, but not like you, of course. Like, you told me you drink, what, 4 liters of water a day?
That's right.
That's ridiculous.
Minimal.
You drank everything. There's nothing left. Surely people get in the house and the tap's just not working because you've drank all the water.
It's even worse competition season.
I can imagine. I actually have a friend who used to kind of do physique stuff. Yeah. We'll go there in a minute. But what I was going to ask is, I was in the gym and I was, you know, working out, and I used to gym a lot, but only because I used to sprint. So it kind of made sense to gym, or gym was part of the program. And I thought to myself, there would be days when I was younger where I would look in the mirror and I would be like, yeah, you look fine. Like, I'm ripped, I'm lean, like, it's competition, it's outdoor season. But a small part of me will still be like, your arm's not the same size as your right arm, and your left leg is, or your left calf is too small. I'm thinking, to compete, do you have to, like, have a bit of body dysmorphia? Like, I feel like every bodybuilder has to kind of have a kind of some, I don't want to make it seem like it's a bad thing, but I feel like they have to not see what everyone else sees. And always, but is that healthy to always be like, my body is not symmetrical enough, my body's not this enough? Like, is that healthy, do you think? Because we don't talk about it.
Yeah, for sure. In regards to, I think anything competition, I don't necessarily think it's healthy. That's just my personal opinion. Whether it's sprinting, football, bodybuilding, nothing on that level is healthy, based on the fact that you're doing whatever you can and putting your body under so much stress that it's beautiful to achieve that just for the sake of competing and being the best, if you can put it that way.
Yeah.
Just because there's a lot of dangerous things. Obviously, a lot of people are on sort of drugs, steroids, different type of chemicals being used to
tell me about it. Yeah, it's exactly. Ridiculous, man.
So obviously, even that alone, you already know research as well. Later in life, it'll have its impact on the health. Moreover, as well, injuries. So when you're pushing your body that hard, you're likely to get injured. Certain organs as well, certain body parts start to give away. So it's not necessarily healthy. And in regards to muscle dysmorphia, you're always craving for more. So you can have days where you feel good, just like you were explaining before. You have days where you look in the mirror and you feel like, yeah, like, I look my best today.
Yeah.
And you have other days where you just don't feel good, and I think that's normal.
But what I'm talking about is, I've seen those pictures online when I've seen guys that I'm like, okay, like, this is enough. Like, yeah. You've done enough. Like, why are you still going to the gym?
Oh, right.
Like, you've eaten all the gym, all the weights. Yeah. Like, but they don't see that. So they're like, oh, my body's still not there. And you're how much more do you want to do, bro?
I think they see that. They understand it. The thing about training is, you can't stop training. Because if you do stop, I just came back from holiday. After 2 weeks off.
I bet you didn't have a holiday.
And I managed to train the first week. I didn't train the second week. Prior to going, I was probably feeling the strongest I felt in a long time. But since coming back, I felt the impact big time. Everything feels twice as heavy.
Yeah.
So, again, that's number one reason to not stop training. And also, once you actually achieve that physique that you've been chasing after, you still need to maintain it.
Yeah.
So therefore, you still need to be going to the gym, maintain your diet. So and essentially, maintenance is probably the hardest part. Hence why people need to still keep going.
No, I mean, you're right. The research shows that. The fitter you are, the quicker you lose fitness.
Yeah.
So I think the research shows that if you're someone who trains 4 to 5 days a week, it takes you just 1 week to lose fitness,
for sure.
Like, which is just ridiculous. And I know this from when I used to sprint. Like, when we'd have a week off, like, people would be like, it's only a week off.
Yeah.
But when we come back and we have to start doing hills and whatever it is, it just feels like you feel like you'd never trained before. Yeah, like, you're like, why am I so out of breath? But it isn't, don't you feel like that's just like, you know, I love God, I'm a Christian, you know, I've got a card.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a Bible up on my phone. But it feels like that's just a really mean way to kind of make us, such that you work hard, you maintain a good physique, but then you lose it in like 5 days.
Quick, rapid. And I think that goes for a lot of things, though. It's just not just about the body. Just even with work and stuff like that, if you have a couple of days off, you forget your password, you forget certain processes. This is a real life experience, by the way. So,
I'm basically like that. I forget, like literally, today, if it wasn't for the Google keychain, that thing has saved my life so many times.
Oh, to save your password?
And it just comes up the password.
I need to get that.
Because I have no, should. Because what it does is, it just, so for me, for instance, because I've got an account to every. When I was young, I had a Dragon Fable account. I had an account for emails, just everything.
Yeah.
Habbo Hotel, just anything you could name. Mm. So now I can't remember. I don't know why I'm still logging onto Dragon Fable, but I can't remember any of the passwords. But Google does it for me. And one thing I realized is if I use these machines that are going to take over our lives someday to remember stuff for me, I don't have to remember it. Yeah. So meetings, I never remember meetings because once we do it, I pop it in my phone, I put a reminder on it, and it just pops up. Hey, today you're recording a podcast with Don Fitness, and then that's it. So I don't have to think. Do you do a lot of that? Because as someone who's busy, do you like automate your life in any way?
Yeah, I have to log things on my phone. So, I mean, I can't afford to lose this phone because it's practically got my whole life on it, just like you said with your password. I don't necessarily keep things on apps. Personally, just because I'm still a bit what's the right word to use? I'm still a bit scared of how much tab they have on us.
I love this. Who's they?
not going into any conspiracy theory. But
do you like sleep with foil? Do you wrap yourself in foil? Just in case.
I still bank. So yeah. But in terms of how much it's being stored. But obviously to plan my days and clients, meetings, work and different schedules, I'm always logging things. And I find myself, because I respond to a lot of text messages.
Yeah. Because you're training people, aren't you?
Yeah,
That's one of the services you offer is you actually can train people on a weekly basis.
That's right, yeah.
They pay a subscription, I imagine.
Yeah, that's right.
And you kind of have a conversation with them about how they're doing and stuff like that. Wow.
Yeah, so...
So how do you know who's your friend? And
Everyone's a friend. So,
Look at that. Just, that's the marketing.
Everyone's
a
friend.
Come on. Surely there's been a time where someone's texted you like at a stupid crazy hour.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's not... The deadlift isn't working. Or something like that. You're thinking, come on, bro.
I mean, I sleep late anyway, so all questions are welcomed.
Really?
And whatever time I can answer, then I answer that. But one thing I find, I end up drafting sort of text messages, and sometimes I forget to send them off, or I just draft a quick note to remember because I know I'm gonna go on the text message later anyway, so it's just easier for me to remember seeing it there rather than going into an app which I'm gonna have to log into. And so I keep everything on my phone, maybe text messages even.
It's funny you should say that because I imagine you must also do that with calories.
Yeah.
Now, this has always fascinated me. I'm sure some people listening would be really kind of fascinated by this whole calorie thing. So, what is counting calories? And is it, do you actually need to do it? I feel like I'm going to ask you lots of questions that people have now, but like, do you actually need to sit down and every time you eat, write 7.9? And
I understand what you mean. It's always a tricky one when it comes to dieting and calorie counting. And personally, I get a bit frustrated, especially at work, when I hear people talking about the different sort of diets they've been on or what they're about to try. And I'm like, you know who I am, you know what I do. I've done this before several times. Why not just ask? Or if you ask, I'll give you the right answers, or I'll help you out with this or whatnot. But people just like to find shortcuts anyway, so hence why they don't want to do the real thing. But in regards to actually counting calories or focus on a diet, it's mainly for a short-term goal. So obviously you can maintain that after you've achieved that short-term goal. So say, for example, if I'm preparing for a show competition, I literally have to weigh everything that I eat. It helps me, it works for me. Most people that compete, they have to track their food as well. And then obviously over time, you can sort of gauge the judgment.
So when you say weigh, like, do you mean like...
So on a food scale.
So you're going to have grapes. You have to weigh the grapes.
Pretty much, yeah. If that's what it takes,
what kind of life?
If that,
you
if
have
that,
to weigh grapes.
If that's what it takes, then you kind of have to.
So you actually been serious. So you weigh your if you're in competition season, yeah. You weigh your grapes
for real. I don't know about anyone else based on my experience and what works for me. Even if I'm having a few like peanuts or anything like that, or strawberries, or just even the tiniest fruits, I have to weigh everything. So if I'm going to stick by 50 gram for something, then I will have to stick with 50 gram.
If you're hungry.
That's why, again, it all goes into, I get different questions about when should I eat,
yeah,
this and that. It all depends on your schedule. As long as you're consuming the right amount of calories each day, all determines on your schedule, how you can fit the food and plan the food around the time you've been awake to when you're going to sleep. So, for example, if I've got 2,000 calories to play about with for the day, which is not much for someone like me, so I'm more likely to delay my first meal till about 1 p.m. in the afternoon. Reason being, because I sleep late most times, so I know the later I have my food, my first meal, the later I can postpone my last meal to sustain me till bedtime. But obviously, if I was to eat my food or all my calories earlier on in the day, I'm likely to cheat later at night when it's all finished. So
so you already know, like, hey, listen, I'm a cheater.
Exactly. So that's ways to prevent it. And that's why a lot of people do intermittent fasting. Cause
I actually have been intermittent fasting for a while.
Exactly. So it's sort of similar process. So it's all depending on how your lifestyle is, if you go to bed early, if you sleep late, just whatever works for you, so you don't fall out of that bracket or eat more than you're supposed to.
I mean, I don't, you know, I think one thing that we have to be kind of very clear about is, obviously, if you're competing, then you have to make sacrifices.
Yeah, for sure.
And probably if someone's competing, they're going to be listening to you right now nodding because they're like, yeah, this is what it takes.
Mm.
But for the average person that's like thinking about the new year, new me, you know, people sign up to gym membership, and it always frustrates me a bit because I go, well, listen, you can sign up to as many gyms as you want. If you're looking for a better physique, body, whatever, gyms are a massive component, but your diet is far, I think, more important personally,
sure.
Right? Especially because most people are trying to cut, right? Let's be quite honest. Let's be honest. We have a massive obesity problem in the UK. Most people are trying to cut down on size, and they're like, I hate the gym. Like, just stop eating. Like, stop eating as much as you're currently eating.
Yeah, you can't stop eating.
You can't stop eating. You know what I mean. I'm not advocating for folks to starve themselves here, right? This is why you're a professional. No, what I'm suggesting is that they just eat what they want, but less of it. And this has been the kind of tried and tested Weight Watcher model, which actually works. Weight Watchers is ridiculously effective because they let people eat anything. They say, you don't have to change your diet at all. You just have to change your portions.
So
I think they do like a point system. So if you have pizza, that's like 6 points. So if you want to waste your points on pizza, you have it. Or you can split across, you know, a potato and blah, 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 blah. But essentially, people's diets, they don't think about. So what would be your top tip for this year for all our political nerds and all everyone in the middle who wants to kind of gain a good body or at least be healthy? In terms of their diet, what would you say is a really key thing that they ought to consider?
I'd say, first of all, the main thing to do is find out your daily calorie intake. That's starters.
And how do you do that?
So there are apps online available. There's one called Calorie Calculator. Funny enough, I'd actually just recently released an ebook which I explained the different methods and ways to support people on there, and it's called what's it called again? Full Body Blast.
That's 1.0. Full Body Blast.
Yeah. So
Full Body Blast.
Yeah. 1.0. It's on donefitness.co.uk. But it's just regarding how to come up with your own calorie intake and calculate that, rather than relying on a PT is something that you can do by yourself.
What's a PT?
A personal trainer, so or a fitness instructor. It's things that you can easily gain access to online, available for everyone. So find out what your calorie intake is for each day. Then from that, you can work backwards. Of the rules is usually around between 250 to 500 calories deficit each day. I mean, it might be a lot, obviously, if you eat less already. But this is, for example, this is especially relating to people who are trying to cut down or diet down. So that's the perfect scenario for them. And also in terms of food choices, it's something called volumes. So whereby, for example, you can have porridge oat, which is low in calories in comparison to having toast and sandwich or sausages, bacon, the full English pretty much in comparison.
Everything English.
Yeah, so in comparison,
you've got to stop.
Yeah, so in comparison to having a bowl of porridge, you can obviously, a bowl of porridge has less calories.
No, it's funny. I think porridge has been given a bad rap, man.
Yeah,
it's really nice.
Yeah, it's actually nice.
Everyone thinks about Oliver Twist when you say porridge. They're like, why am I? Why? It's like, why I work a full time job. Yeah, why am I eating porridge? It's
exactly.
It's what people think, but it's actually really good.
Yeah,
and it's healthy.
It's healthy. So like that's an option you can make. The sacrifice you can make. So by your food choices, obviously look for when you shop, look for things with lower calories. In comparison to things with higher calories, which is usually a lot of sugary stuff anyway. So that's another option. When it comes to portions, I would also go by the rule of roughly about 30% carbs on your plate, possibly about the same for the protein, and the remaining 40% veg. So that way you're able to have a good balance on your plate, and the veg kind of covers for the carbs as well. So, because you got to remember, a lot of vegetables are carbohydrates as well. So you can limit the amount of rice or bread or whatever that you're eating by just having more veg to it. And they hold next to no calories. So you're safe there in terms of portion. And if you want to go to the extreme end, especially if you have a short-term goal, you calculating your calorie intake and knowing how much you need to take from it each day, and then putting that into implementation through your portion sizes.
Those
are the three key things that are important.
Okay. I think that's going to help someone because, like I said, like a lot of people don't consider like what part their diet has to play in all these wonderful goals they have. You know, I want to have a beach body ready for, you know, summer, or I want to, you know, after having my child, I want to actually, you know, lose the tummy. Okay, well, you got to change your diet.
Yeah, for sure.
And also, let's like guys as well.
Yeah.
They've got to do things to just kind of change their diet, basically. Random question: Is burning 1,000 calories a day good?
I mean, it depends on
in the gym.
Yeah, I think that's possible to do. It's not too extreme.
That's good, because that's how much I've been burning. Since the year started, and then a friend messaged me and said, "This is really unhealthy. You have to stop." And I was like, "It's not that much."
Yeah, I think it depends on your goal as well. So, if you can maintain,
I'm trying to lean out. And get rid of any excess. Yeah. Just literally just flush out all the nonsense.
Yeah. So we've leaning out. It's a theory everyone uses in the bodybuilding. So less calorie intake. So you lower your calorie intake and more expenditures. So therefore, you bring your calories down, but you're doing more work. So that way you're able to overwork and burn the fat. That way you trim down. However, if you are trying to gain weight, it's the reverse. So increase your calorie intake and more work. So essentially the key thing there is more work. So regardless of whether you're trying to gain weight or lose weight, the difference is the calories, because the work still stays.
I guess the type of work you do might differ. You might do, if you're trying to gain, you might do more explosive work. You might do less reps but more kind of, you know, more weight, yeah, and, you know, whatever. Whereas if you're leaning out, you might do lower weights but lots of reps and stuff like that. So I guess that might change.
Yeah,
that's, for the most right. part, yeah, you're working.
Yeah, and like in regards to, is it safe to burn 1,000 calories? Like if you feel like you can manage to burn 1,000 calories, then why not?
What do you think? How many calories you burn, but per workout? Or you don't really know.
I should track more. But on average, I think most people, if you were to do it just a weight session, but on its own, you're burning like around 300 and something calories. So, if not more. But then by the time you mix that with cardio as well, and you burn another, let's say you had a target of 300 to 400 calories, you're pretty much close to that 1,000 yeah. anyway. So it's just survival of the fittest.
It's not unhealthy. I don't have to go to the doctor or anything like that.
No, it's not unhealthy. And it depends on how much you consume as well anyway. Yeah. So, because if you consume quite a bit, and that's why I always say,
like anything, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. So that's why I always
you're still gonna get bigger.
Yeah, like if you enjoy eating or if you enjoy food, the gym should be your best friend because you can sort of get the balance there.
Yeah,
enjoy what you eat and then put in the work.
It's so funny because I always meet friends, like, you know, we went to uni together or we were, you know, back in school, and they were the kind of always lean, never got fat, you know, and they're always like, yeah, you know, my metabolism is just so good. I just eat and it just goes through me, and then I just stay the same. Mike, I'm trying to gain weight, but I can't gain weight. You know, you meet those girls, I just can't gain weight, Mike. Yeah, yeah. And you give it like 2 years, and you meet them on the train station, and you go, oh my God, Stacey.
Why is it always going to be at the train station?
You're like, I guess you're getting weight then. That's what I'm saying in my head. No, or the guy that's like, you know, I'm always playing football. And then you see them, and then they've just become more circular.
Yeah,
and their head is circular. And you're like, wow. Like, fitness is not something. I think we all get fooled by that, 100%. By the youth we have when we're, you know, running around. Like, there was a time where, literally, I could finish the gym, get to school.
Yeah.
Because I had to gym the morning before school. Then, you know, play sports all day, train after school, and then go play football after school. And I would get home like, these days, a gym session. Yeah. And I'm like, like, my back is just done. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm getting older.
Yo, yeah, and it's true and it's real. Because just like you were saying, I've had times where I play football for uni. I used to play pretty much 7 days a week.
Yeah.
And still manage to train 5 days out of those and I'll be fine. But
literally
until now, when the injuries start coming, the impacts and whatnot, then you realize, damn, I ain't got it no more. So
it's actually so sad because obviously in athletics, in the gym, you do weight work, but we never bench. We don't bench. Mm-hmm. We don't. There's a lot of exercises we don't do.
Well, you look pretty big.
No, but
yourself,
it's because I mean, I'll take it.
Take your jacket. Puffy jacket.
If I tense, I'll probably rip these off. But no. But my point is, like, we never bench. We never did anything like that. Obviously, I haven't sprinted. Is it sprinted or sprint?
Yeah.
It's not sprint. Yeah, sprint doesn't sound right. But I haven't done that for a couple of like 2 years now. Going on 3 years.
Wow.
And that always bothered me. Like, why aren't we developing whatever? But what we didn't have in, like, massive arms, we would make up for in, like, just being super explosive. Yeah, so speed, I could jump really high, right? Yeah. And then in the gym just a couple of days ago, I was doing arms, whatever it was. But then I felt like just jumping, right?
Yeah.
And I tried to jump. And I've never felt so heavier in my life. Like, I actually felt like, whoa.
Because
I used to be so bouncy. And you're always doing plyos and training plyos in the gym, jumping everywhere. And I tried to jump. And I was like, oh, my God. Either I'm weaker, i.e. like I've actually like lost muscle. Or I'm just ridiculously heavier. Or I'm just not as explosive. So, like, that made me start thinking, okay, I need to recapture that. So now I'm on this kind of crazy kind of cutting program, just cut and get powerful again and just become explosive and then maintain that, as you said.
Yeah, that's
because
that's key.
It's so sad. It literally gets me so sad when I think about the past, and that was when you were your fittest.
Just like you said, it's about, you can't really compare your youthful age I mean, we're still all young, but...
Well, we are, but it's so sad, man. We're talking like we're 56. Sad.
Yeah, back in the day. It is sad, because obviously, especially knowing what you used to get up to at that age, you had energy for everything. And I think the more you grow older as well, things change. Circumstances, different life choices, and different environments as well. So all that has a factor to play. And I do agree most times when people give excuses about, oh, I can't train because I've got this, I've got that. The people I don't agree with are people that I'm very sure about, that we all finish work around the same time, 9 to 5, and you're telling me you don't have time, especially when you haven't got anything else to do
that's tangible.
You have got time. So so if I'm able to do it, and I think it's one of the reasons why I like to compete as well, because I mean, apart from the discipline and the life skills you gain from it, it's a way to prove to people as well that regardless of how busy my schedule is, I can still have a passion for something and still
do it at a high level
and fully commit to it. So we've all got 24 hours in a day, and apart from fitness, there's a lot of other things that I'm involved in, and if I can get through that and still compete at a higher level, then
amazing.
There's no
excuse.
That's
such a good mindset to have, and I think it's so good that people are hearing this in January, because that can do mindset, I think, is what kind of just fitness does for you in general. Mm. Like I always tell people, when I'm in the gym, when I go to the gym in the morning, I get so much more done, because I gym 6 till 8 a.m. And when I gym in the morning, I just get so much
you feel
more
alive.
Done. You feel alive. Yeah. You feel, and it's so interesting, because I was talking about this with my friends. So as you know, I don't know if I told you, but I was speaking to some people earlier about it. Obviously, I used to compete, at youth Olympic level for one sport, and internationally for another. And if you asked me when I was young what I'm going to do, I'll tell you, I'm going to be a sports person.
Yeah, for
right?
sure.
Now we're talking about back hurting and blah, 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 blah. So I'm starting to ask myself, and I guess for you who's still competing, do you think, and you'll be doing this forever? I say forever, I don't mean obviously forever. Mm. I just mean do you see yourself doing this for a long time?
Yeah.
And also, what's your thought? Because I'm currently going through this arc myself right now, where I'm thinking, I used to be super fit. And not like kind of fit. I mean, like
super,
peak where
obviously,
I was,
if you compare
all my friends were like, everything just like ripped. And I think, and I look back and I go, how do I make sense of the future if I can't be that? Because
I
cannot imagine being this kind of like genuinely fit, you know. You see those uncles at parties, you can tell they have a shape.
But they got a belly,
something's keeping them back. When they do this, you're like, okay, you got some fast twitch fibers, you know. but you know, they're just so much over it, so much life stress. Do you ever get worried about that?
I mean, in terms of will I still keep training? That's definitely, I can see myself still training regardless of what the situation is. Obviously, there's certain things that are guaranteed to happen. Wear and tear, that's just fact. We all have to go through it. Old age happens to everyone, as long as you're alive.
If I can find the cure.
you can't find a cure for that. But saying that though, I have seen some 60, 70-year-olds still banging gyms. So those are my motivation as well.
Likewise, I've seen there was a picture that used to go around on WhatsApp of this like old man that was like six-packed.
Like,
I was like, I want to be that guy. But imagine the sacrifice.
The sacrifice, And that's the thing, it still goes into maintenance.
Yeah.
Which is the key. So the more consistent you are with it, and also you have to train smart as well. There's certain times where your body isn't up for it. If you're getting injured, then obviously you have to find a way to manage that. I think my only worry really is injuries. So, because that's the main thing that can set you back for a long period of time. But once you still got that mindset of you want to keep pushing, obviously within reasons, you don't want to go too far and make it worse. So I would just encourage to sort of maintain and keep pushing.
I'm so pumped. I mean, I'm definitely going to the gym tonight. Yeah. I was thinking about it. I might go to this music festival thing.
Yeah, let's go to the session. Let's get a session in.
I think I'm going to go to the gym tonight. This is such a different episode for us, but I think this will be helpful for a lot of people because irrespective of what you do, whether you're a business person or you're a political pundit or you're a student, like you only get one body. Get one body. So you have to look after it.
Sure.
This notion that I can just put anything I want in it, use it anyhow, and then it's going to like provide dividends for me in the long term. It's just not true. It's going to one day pack up on you. One day your back's just going to give in, or one day your kneecap is going to just break, right? You've got to treat it properly. If you treat your body right, it treats you right. So I hope that this episode, in a way, even though it's quite different to our normal episodes, helps people kind of just think a bit about fitness this year and go out for a run. And one thing I love, I was speaking to someone the other day about this, you know, one thing I know from asking, and a lot of these questions, I'm playing devil's advocate. You know, I'm massively into fitness, sure. So you know, I'm into the topics, but I'm speaking for the person who perhaps doesn't really get it. But you know, the great thing about fitness is, I think most people expect returns very quickly.
Yeah, that's right.
They're like, I want to be fit now. Yeah. You're like, that's good, but that motivation is kind of irrelevant for fitness.
Yeah, it dies down after a couple weeks.
You know, so you don't need that motivation. Yeah. What you need is a kind of just a day by day, do a little bit throughout the year. Because when you see those before and after pictures, because they're so close together, people think, oh,
yeah, A to B.
Nah, listen, that's a 6-year journey, that's a 2-year journey, it's a 1-year. So all it takes is just going out for a jog. And I know for the rest of my life, I will be a jogger. I will be a treadmiller. I will be a, what's that thing? The CrossFit. Yeah. I thought that thing was that. If you want to burn calories, that's the machine to use. I used to ride bikes.
I've got one that's worse.
What, go on?
Assault bike. All the CrossFitters will understand that.
Which one's the assault bike? That's the bike you just ride.
Yeah, the bike you just ride and you.
Oh,
and
you do this with your hand.
You do
the
swing.
Oh Lord!
Yeah.
Do they have that in my gym?
It's the worst exercise in the entire world.
I want to try that because I used to jog on the treadmill. Which I think I used to kind of, so I used to start the gym with like 20 minutes of that, and that would probably burn something like maybe 300 calories, maybe 320, something like that. Then I started doing indoor rowing. I used to do indoor rowing for my local borough, so I was pretty good at it, so I thought I'll do it again. But that didn't really burn much. That was like 290, again for 20 minutes. Then I started doing the bike. That was the worst one. I burned like 150 calories, a waste of time. Then I went to the cross trainer. I was like, "This is for pregnant women." Yeah. But I went on it anyways, right? And I started doing
pregnant women shouldn't really be using
I started using it, and I was like, "Okay, I could give it all." I burned 400 calories in 20 minutes
because it's a lot of movement with your full body.
I was moving so I thought, okay, so now when I start going to the gym, the first thing I do is cross trainer for 20 minutes, and then I start my session. So like it just means I start with 400 calories, which means by the time I do all my explosive and jumping nonsense, I cross the 1K pretty easily. But anyways, without going in and out again, where can people find out more about what you do? Because I know you said donfitness.co.uk. Is that where all your stuff is? Is that where they can book and kind of research your fitness plans and stuff like that?
that's right. So donfitness.co.uk, that's the website where you can get in touch with me and inquire about different programs that I run as well. Also social media, donfitness on Instagram. Those are my two main platforms really. And I post regular workout videos every day. You can always feel free to message, I'll be able to respond to them, comment, show love, follow, and I'm able to support in any way, shape or form.
This is so good. Well folks, listen, this was such a fascinating conversation, and you know, I love talking to interesting people, and this is a really interesting episode. I think, like I said, this is an episode where there's actually takeaway steps, there's things for you to go do right now. And I appreciate everyone who listens. Thank you so much for staying this long if you have. And if you have, you might as well join in the conversation. The hashtag is LTCS on Twitter, Facebook, whatever social media app you use. And just tell us what you think. I would love to engage with you. Like I said, it's a different episode, but a very important one. And I hope you share it. So if you have Instagram or Twitter or all the other things, you can click the share button, get it out there, and start a discussion. And I hope you achieve all your fitness goals this year. As ever, this has been Let's Talk Common Sense with me, Mike Omani. So take care and see you.